Have you ever noticed that even those who object or who are repulsed by Christianity are very taken by Jesus? Have you ever noticed when you're talking with those who consider themselves not religious or nominally religious, they might not be able to stomach good church folks, but they love talking about Jesus? Why do you think that this is? If you look at the mind of Christ, we'll notice that Christ looks at the world in a different manner than those of us who are still trying to figure out how to emulate him. Put another way, the church hasn't always succeeded in cultivating the mind of Christ, in living out the everyday faith that we espouse in Jesus. How is it that we can cultivate the mind of Christ? So not sure if you have a Christ-focused mind or a human-focused mind? Let's take a little quiz together, shall we? No need to speak out loud unless you feel particularly convicted. Do you find yourself responding in compassion or in anger when you're interrupted? Do you find yourself wondering about someone's well-being or their sanity when their driving is not up to par? Do you find yourself answering your kids, your spouse, your family in exasperation or with love when the same topic comes up for the 42nd time that hour? If you find yourself primarily being able to nod along with a little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration, some exasperation, some disengagement in conversations or encountered with others, you might be just like the rest of us and have a human focused mind. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he proposes this most incredible truth at the end of the chapter. We have the mind of Christ. Not we're going to get it. Not we hope it comes somewhere down the line. We have, right now, the mind of Christ. In our series together about living as the body of Christ, we've been primarily talking about actions. What are your fruits in your faith? How could someone from outside see what God is doing in your life? What are your feet doing exactly? Are your nose hairs doing their job? Are you caring for one another as the parts of the body with the listening of the ear of the heart? This morning we shift just slightly. The letter to the Corinthians is not the only place where Paul entreats the fledgling church to cultivate the mind of Christ. It's in the book of Romans, in which he says in the New Living Translation, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by the way that you think. And it's in the letter to the Philippians that Paul says, let this mind that's in Jesus be found in you. And it's John's final portion of John 15. Jesus says, everything that I learned will be known to you. So now in some mysterious way, you and I seem to have a capacity for divine wisdom that no PhD or no natural experience could ever provide. Having the mind of Christ is to point us into seeing life from God's perspective. So, how do we move from those well-intentioned but off-putting folks who sometimes give Christianity a bad name to the good faithful folks who seem to get it and have the mind of Christ? This morning I want to suggest there are two ways that we do that. The first of which is that we be in Scripture. So I want to ask you this morning, are you encountering the Word of God? Are you reading the Bible? Are you spending time in Bible study with others? What are your habits around reading the Bible? It's always interesting to me that Bibles seem to have more of a place of honor on the living room bookshelf, a little bit dusty here, than the convenient place beside the bed. It's always telling when a Bible has as much dust on it as the top of that very bookshelf, and probably just as much use. Now, you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, I pick up the Bible every now and again. I hear scripture in church. Boy, this pastor likes a lot of scripture, right? I hear plenty of scripture on a Sunday morning. And sometimes I catch a verse on the radio when I'm listening. Sometimes I get those devotions in my emails, you know the kind. I read scripture. I want to suggest this morning that if you're not daily reading scripture and regularly engaging in Bible study with others, you're not giving God a lot to work with as you cultivate the mind of Christ. When I was a little girl, we had to memorize scripture verses in Sunday school. I imagine some of you might have had to do that as well. And I remember I'd work on the passage during the week and dutifully stand up, recite my passage, and get my gold star to put on the chart that hung on the wall. I liked getting those gold star, but didn't think much of the practice elsewise. Until the first time came when I was in junior high, and it felt like things weren't going quite right. And the words, be still and know that I am God, that I had to recite about 2 years ago, kind of bubbled up in my brain, called forth, and felt like they were speaking to me. It felt like they were personal and directed. Scripture I had to memorize somewhere along the way started speaking back to me. And I felt some calm. I felt some peace in the midst of anxiety. Now, this gift wasn't just for me, a junior high kid. This is a gift that's available to everyone who's in the Word. So, offer more to God. Give him something to work with. Let Christ change your thinking. Think about it this way. Stop filling your mind so much with the messages of the world and fill it more with the messages of the Word. The reason that the Spirit of Christ could use Scripture to calm my troubled mind was through that discipline that I wasn't so sold on of memorizing Scripture as a young child. I'd put it somewhere that God could use it again. I'm convinced that we could experience incredible transformation if we would just fill our minds with the Word of God on a daily basis. Secondly, we cultivate the mind of Christ by experiencing Christ himself. One of the most dependable ways we have to experience God is through the sacrament of Holy Communion. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, described the Lord's Supper this way. the grand channel whereby the grace of God's Spirit is conveyed on all the souls of God's children. He goes on to say, this is the food of our souls. This gives us strength to perform our duty and lead us on to perfection. God bless Mr. Wesley, who always thought that you and I were going to make it to perfection. May it be. God makes such sustenance for us, the daily bread, available to each of us through the sacrament of communion. You might remember Jesus telling the crowds this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. So, as you and I come to the table again and again, we're strengthened again and again. We go out empowered to live lives as disciples, as reconcilers, as witnesses, as those with the mind of Christ. In the words that we will pray after communion, grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. As you return to the table again this morning, I invite you to boldly pray. To boldly pray that God will indwell you. That God will cultivate the mind of Christ in you. That you will know the compassion and the justice of God because it began amongst the fleeting thoughts of fear and doubt in your mind to take a stronger hold. I pray that you will begin again to know the love and the joy because we'll be brought alongside to remember who it is that God calls us to love when we might rather discard them. I pray again that you will know peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that reminds us again what it is to have the mind of Christ. So as you receive communion this morning, I want to invite you to pause here at the rail, so to speak, or back in your seats and ask Christ to bring forth the mind of Christ that is already within you, so that you might walk this week as a disciple of Jesus Christ who looks at the world through God's eyes. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.